Good morning, good evening. It's just after midnight here, not far from Port Angeles or Forks, where the vampires live. Here, not far from the edge of nowhere and the Salish Sea. Here, not far from the lonely captains and sailors that get drunk all night and then show up in the alleyway. Here between tomorrow and nowhere. It is October the 21st. But barely. October the 21st, 2024. It is 12:22 a.m. right about now. And I don't have an outline. I don't have a list of notes. If you see this podcast show up in your queue, you'll be saying, Dan, where's the poem? Where's the meat? Where's the sandwich grease? And it's gone, baby. It's gone. It's after midnight. And I can't sleep. I can't sleep. And it's too late to go get a whiskey bottle. And it's too late to go grab myself whatever crombolium I'll find in a box or a bottle, a pill. It's either too late or too early. Yeah, it's either too late or too early. And one of the things I've been trying to do in recent weeks is figure out a way to get over whatever situation I am in, to do things that just don't involve being miserable. I know that's a weird way of putting it, but it's kind of like making an appointment to get eyeglasses or buying shoes. You kind of have to believe it matters. And for a while, this last year, I didn't really think it did. And even right now, it takes some convincing in a way. It probably does matter, but it's hard to understand why. And insomnia, or not being able to sleep for some reason, isn't really the end of the world. I've had it before. You know, there was a long time, and it's weird, there was a very long time where I didn't really have any insomnia at all. And then, I don't know how to put it. Right around 2020, one or two nights a year, maybe a dozen, half a dozen nights a year, became one or two nights a month or one night a week. I just couldn't sleep. And you could call it the general disquiet of the soul that many people are feeling these days and have felt since 2020. And it's not simply the disquiet that's related to whatever stress monkey has been tossed in your face that day, or whatever issue you're facing regarding the world and your personal life. We felt, a lot of us, not all of us, but I think the number's getting bigger, that there is a reason for why we're being, for lack of a better term, tortured the way that we're being tortured. And some would say, well, it's because they enjoy it. And you could argue about they or them, and I don't want to talk about they or them. They get too much of my energy already, really. But you can talk about they or them and talk about motives, but I don't know they or them. I've never met them. I can hypothesize about who they work for, given my faith, but I don't know. If you throw a theory at me, it might sound interesting, but because I can neither prove it nor disprove it, it's only interesting. I am certain we are in a cage, that you are in a cage, that I'm in a cage too. And the cage could be simply the product of random happenstance. You know, hundreds of millions of years ago, maybe a billion years ago, who knows when, some salamander got sick of living in the swamp and decided to move further inland. And that's how it started. That was the first homeowners association. oceans were filled with giant scorpion. And nobody likes that. So Salamander Sam Pete Oswell, he decided to crawl out of the sea. He would become a better kind of dude. He was tired of giant scorpion rude. Yeah. And you have your first homeowners association, maybe what, 500 million years ago, 200 million? They keep changing these numbers, so just focus on the fact that it was so long ago that, once again, you can't really prove it or disprove it. But you could contend that that salamander built the first cage as well. And the cage was the space that that salamander carved out, and it's only gotten worse since. You could think it's that random, that it's just nature, that what we're living through is a product of human evolution, and that's it. And you could argue maybe it's a defect, but on what basis? What measure are you using? Why would you call it defective? Creatures come into existence and they fit or they don't fit. In fact, in terms of the standard interpretation of natural selection, you either fit or you don't. And if you don't, you ain't making babies, however you make babies, whether it's babies, you know, like a bunctus baby the way people do, or whether it's you split in half, like, you know, mitosis or meiosis or whatever, some type of lactose intolerance. However you make babies, you can't make them and you die. Your progeny is never born, and that particular part of the evolutionary tree is cut off. That's the story I was told growing up. And it made sense. It did. It made sense until it didn't. Until that general disquiet of the soul. And it didn't just start in 2020 for me. I mean, it probably started a lot further back. I would say some of the first disquiet moments probably do go back to when I was a teenager, like so many of us. But there were times in my adulthood, especially just after I got done being in the Army, where I had a lot of that kind of disquiet, of unanswered questions, and frankly, imponderables, because there was no easy answer. There wouldn't be one. And it's not different today that I have better answers. It's more like I understand why I felt that anxiety. And it's not a defect. It's not something you can treat with a pill. It really isn't. You also can't treat it by getting drunk and listening to music. Believe me, I know. You can't cure it by just being all in a cave all the time. I know this. I know this for a fact. And it's not to say wanting to be alone is bad. It's not bad. I think it makes a lot of sense these days, but there's no cure for that thing. That thing, whatever you want to call it. Because you are an unlucky person. You're one of the people for whom the military psychological warfare doesn't really work. It doesn't. You reject it. That's good. It's good in a lot of ways, but it's also BAD bad. It's bad because if you're right, and you might not be, if you're right, then all of this is not just some sort of random accident of an HOA gone haywire because Salamander Bob decided to crawl out of the sea. If you're right, there's something else going on. And it's hard to say what it is. If you listen to a guy like David Icke, who I am not beating up on, he has a lot of my respect for his determination with respect to looking out for kids and being a warrior against the systematic abuse of children, so he has my respect, simply put. But he has a vision of reality that I really don't agree with. I think he has a lot of pieces right, but I don't know that he has enough information or evidence to be certain. He acts like he's certain, and that worries me, his level of certainty. But if he turns out to be right, that's fine. All I know, all I'm certain of, is that we are being lied to on a huge scale. And I'm also certain that a lot of people, and this is also how manipulation works, are in a space where they kind of need it. They need to be manipulated. They need to be told a lie. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. Tell me about traveling to Mars. Tell me about coconut bars. Tell me about the BLM Antifa drag queen revolution. Scare me about the schools and scare me that they're going to shut down the schools. Scare me about the doctors and the pills. There's a lot of fear in all of this. A lot of crazy, crazy fear. And, you know, yeah, I kind of wish it did impact me the way it does other people. But it doesn't. And in all this fear, you also find, like I said, the inherent conceit and the truth that people, humans, are wanting this. Like Salamander Bob crawling out of the sea, people are seeing this as a source of nutrition, you know, psychological nutrition, this feed of lies. Because if you focus on these scary little demons, you don't have to ask the question, what is really going on? You can just assume what you're seeing is true. There's a painting that I guess I ripped from my profile on Spotify. The painting is Edward Hopper, and I've talked about him before on my podcast. I'm not an expert on Edward Hopper, by the way. I'm not an expert. I'm simply aware of that one painting. And if you're up late at night, if you remember not so long ago that you had your choice of diners in many places up as late as you, and it's true, there are still a few 24-hour diners out there, but they're not as many as there used to be, are there? And you can say, well, that's because of the homeless. And no. No, you're blaming the reason why there's not a diner on the reason why there are homeless. You don't understand. It's not because of them. It really isn't. You could take all the homeless and ship them to McNeil Island, Mr. and Mrs. Seattle, and that diner isn't going to be 24 hours again, wherever it used to be. But I remember a time when I was in my 20s where, when we were being sold, the time we were being sold, the giant turd sandwich that we call globalism, I remember back in my 20s, the sense that we were entitled to a level of wealth and reality that now looks stupefying, that we should expect there to be a 24-hour diner. It's insane. Because everything needs to sleep, right? But not the 24-hour diner. It never sleeps. The painting I'm alluding to in the vaguest way possible as I dance around this topic, and I have no topic, so, you know, shut the fuck up, Dan. The painting I'm talking about is called Nighthawks. And if you look at my profile on Spotify, if you look at my profile, goddamn, on Spotify... It's late, baby, and I'm drinking coffee. You're not supposed to do that at night, and I don't care. That's something I do. But yeah, if you look at my profile on Spotify, if you look at my profile on Spotify, you will see the painting Nighthawks by Edward Hopper. I believe he produced it in 1942. And you're going to see some people in there, a couple people. You can see part of their face or most of their face, and one dude who simply, you can't see his face because his back is to you. And it's this painting I think about when I think about not being able to sleep. I can't tell you exactly why, and I don't think it's special. I think there are a lot of people who would associate insomnia with Nighthawks. And during the 20th century, it seemed as if everything would be going 24/7. You know, everything would be moving. Containers containing stuff coming in, containers shipping stuff out, economics exploding, the new high-tech world of the World Wide Web. Virtual reality will give us all of our joys and sins. And it seemed as if you lived in the 90s, like I did in my 20s, that what we were experiencing would go on forever. You know, it would simply be a forever thing. That, yeah, there would be economic downturns, but it wouldn't be catastrophic, and everybody would have a job, and even if they didn't have a job, everything would be so cheap because of globalism, and the world would be special. And then there was 9/11. And it was kind of like if that world, the globalist world, was something that was going to happen and it could be really cool, it felt like at first that that was a plate of goodies that was taken away. But in reality, and this is what I understand today, is that plate never existed really. There was no plate. There was no plate. We thought that we were getting a plate of steak and eggs and all the fine victuals that we enjoy. And we thought that that particular plate would feed us for our lifetimes. And then 9/11 happened. And now looking back, I understand that what I experienced in the 90s was a kind of lie, you know? In fact, when you really think about it, it doesn't just go back to closing the gold window. It just doesn't go back to whatever, creating the Federal Reserve. There have been these kinds of lies and deceptions in American history, going back to the Constitutional Convention itself. That's what I believe today. And even though at first that particular government wasn't strong enough to do anything that brutal to people, eventually it became big enough to do so. And that was always going to happen. You know, it's funny, when you look at Teddy Roosevelt, you need to understand that he jumped the gun. He did, in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways. It's not just that he created the modern progressive movement. It's not just that he created the institutional worship that really took over, that somehow the federal government's here to help you. It's not just that he created that sense of entitlement that led to the FBI fucking eye. He did. He didn't create the FBI, but after Teddy, it was going to happen. He created the FDA, Dan, the FDA. I know he did. And ask yourself, what has that monkey fuck, the Food and Drugs Administration, done for you lately? My guess is it's harmed you and your family. Yeah, but Teddy jumped the gun. It's like when he tried to send the U.S. fleet around the world. It could only get halfway because they just didn't have the money or the resources, you know? And in fairness, naval warfare was going through a revolution about the time Teddy became president. And also, it would continue that revolution for the rest of the century, because even the battleship, the modern battleship, the dreadnought of the early 20th century, as iconic as it was, as effective as it was, would only have a time on the stage for a few decades, and then there would be the aircraft carrier, and then the nuclear submarine. And all of these things would be chasing each other into oblivion as we get closer and closer to Armageddon. Teddy jumped the gun. Teddy, if you want to think about neocons and where they come from, yeah, they come from communism, but you know what? Teddy created a home for communists. I don't know enough about his life to tell you more, but I can tell you that Teddy had every desire to have an imperial presidency. The problem was is that we were almost, but not quite, an empire yet. Not really. We were in a way. Like, if you think of the United States as an empire, he was an imperial president. But if you think of the United States in terms of today, having, what, 700, 800 military bases worldwide, yeah, I don't know if we're an empire, really. I don't know, Teddy. And that's part of my disquiet of the soul. How far do you go back? Do you go back to the salamander Bob who decided to crawl out of the muck because there's too many fucking giant scorpions or something? I don't know if you go back that far. I don't know. It's hard to say. I wish I had a good answer. I know I have people who listen to my podcast and desire a really good answer. And the only answer I can give you hasn't changed much since 2021. And that is, it's a blank chalkboard. A lot of things are possible. We are definitely in what I called the Great Discontinuity in late 2019, but I call it Bo Blimp Doc now for lots of reasons. We're definitely in that window, but what's coming next? Is it more of the same? If it is, if it's more of the same, then it will take a level of brutality to get this particular train back on the rails that I just don't think is feasible. I don't. It will. It'll take a level of brutality that at this point seems impossible. So if it's more of the same, okay, sure. If it's some type of hyperstatism, which is really just what the reset is, it's hyperstatism. It's that we're taking the government to the global scale and we're going to put y'all in 15-minute cities, which compared to being street homeless looks nice, by the way. I'm just being honest. I mean, if we're having honest conversations, as much as I hated that whatever 150-square-foot pod I lived in Seattle, I was smart enough to know it's better than being homeless. Way better. There is no comparison. But they're not going to build you a pod. They're not going to pick you up and take you to a Walmart in Texas. They're not going to waste the diesel fuel shipping you out or, and this is just as important, shipping food in. So I told people something I am certain about, and I am very certain, but people will snicker, especially a certain group of megaheads out there. If you don't know after 2020 that the FEMA camp was the city you're living in right now, then you need help. I'm not going to use the R word, but there is a word people would typically use to make you feel bad. The reality is you're a fucking idiot. And you better wake up. If you live in a city right now, time is running out. It is. To get the fuck out. It's just running out. I am certain of this. Does that mean it's the end of the world? No. But none of these cities were designed for what's coming. None of them are capable of protecting themselves or sustaining their population. Or another way of putting it, if you live someplace where your food and water comes from hundreds or thousands of miles away, and you can't really produce clean water or food yourself, then yeah, you should probably move. And now is the time. It's not going to be easy or easier as you wait. If you're waiting for that magical opportunity in 10 years when you will sell your home and move to the countryside, you're living in a world that ceased to exist. It ceased to exist on December the 31st, 2019. I almost said 1999. Wow. Yeah, that world doesn't exist any longer. It's over. You had a glimmer of it between 2001, I guess, and 2019, but that world is over. You're not going to sell your home to anybody for money that's going to allow you to do this. If you do it now, right now, maybe, but if you're envisioning 5 or 10 years from now, I think you're wrong. You should know with certainty that if you live in a city, that is the FEMA camp. You should know with certainty they're not going to ship in any food. You should know with certainty they're not going to waste diesel fuel on you or your family. And what they really want, and this is critical, is for you to wait around for help. Because the longer you wait for help means the more likely you're just going to starve to death. And if you're wondering, after 2020, if I'm full of shit or not, understand that there's a microcosm of this going on right now in the United States, not just in North Carolina. It's happening in Hawaii. It's happening in various cities and parts of this country. Parts of this country are, for all intents and purposes, being abandoned. And when it comes to places that are our necessary friends and allies, aka not the United States, even though we pretend they are whenever we need their stuff, when it comes to all these countries around the world, a lot of them are, yeah, they're in collapse. South Africa, in collapse. I don't think or know that things have gotten better in Sri Lanka. I think there are other places like Bangladesh that aren't doing so great. Pakistan's not doing so great. I'm fairly certain Haiti is sideways. And based upon what people who've been there have told me, and I don't mean the news, I mean people who've lived there in Mexico. Yeah, Mexico has always been kind of in a state of chaos since its, you know, inception. And it's getting worse. That's where we're at in the game, you know? And I think the plan, if there's a plan, is to do the best to convince the population that these things aren't happening, to get people scared about stuff that definitely isn't happening. So take the stuff that is happening and just pretend it's not there. And then take a bunch of manufactured bullshit from Langley, LL, you know, 212, you know, half a mile below the surface of the earth. You know, go to that particular chasm at Langley and grab whatever trauma monkeys you think will confuse people. That's what they're doing. And it's three-card Monty on a very large scale. They're giving you a lot of fear because your body's telling you probably there's something to be afraid of, but it's bullshit. And then the things you should be concerned about just in the base case, like total economic collapse, for which there's evidence all around you if you have eyes to see, well, they don't want you thinking about that. And if you do think about it, they want you to know that if we just take care of that homeless problem, which means we just have to build a big enough camp or place on McNeil Island where we can ship all the people that don't got no home. And if your neighbor ends up losing their home one day and you see them on the street, you don't have to look them in the eyes because we've given you a phone. And your phone is a reality that allows you to ignore everything around you. You can be afraid of a magical germ from China, but just don't look up at the shit they're obviously spraying above you. And if you do, you'll find somebody on that phone that will tell you, oh, it's just contrails. It's just contrails, Dan. I've been an airline pilot. I know the story. I met an anarchist, quote-unquote, once who was really good friends with a deep state dude who built weapons for the deep state. And he told me his contrail story. And then I asked him, do you know what Operation Popeye was? And he stuttered for a second because he claimed to be former Air Force and a deep state nerd of history. And he stuttered and stammered, I don't know what that is. I immediately understood the situation. I couldn't act on it because I was too fucking poor. But that particular story, which I don't want to go into more detail on, that particular day, I pretty much knew the deal. I knew the deal. Everything added up. That story, that friend, the offices that people were working out of, the situation with a woman who had 12 monitors, the computers that were way out of date for a person who claimed to be super high tech. Yeah. I figured out most of that story in that brief moment, and it's okay. It's okay. I think the deep state wastes a lot of money on me, just like they waste a lot of money on you. And they do. Because I'm not special. The garbage they toss at me, guess what? In your life, they're tossing at you. You think you're self-aware and you're in touch. You think you're awake like the people at that particular diner in Hopper's painting. You think you're wide awake, right? You see what's going on, buddy. You come up to me and say, Dan, you see those people standing in line? Yeah, you know, we're out for a walk, we're in downtown Seattle, and you point out to, see those people standing in line? They're just actors and models. They get paid to stand in line. It's a pop-up restaurant. It's a fancy French place. It's got the new Apple iPod X-ray. And you know, they get paid to stand around and make something look more interesting than it is. And you tell me this, and I agree with you. Then I describe to you what I saw in 2020, and your eyes gloss over, and you don't understand. You forget what you just knew. Yeah, I'm talking to you, buddy. It's not just that they pay people to make a restaurant look better than what it is. That's not even relevant to the conversation. It's that that kind of manipulation happens at a large scale in this country. And so even if you don't think you're special, you are. You've seen a protest where people are paid to go there and they don't give a crap. I saw these protests in 2020. I can guarantee you at least half the people I saw didn't give a crap. And because of the, you know, the coffee filter, the necessary mask, the one the governor of Washington said you can make yourself through crafting. There's a PDF, I bet, up there still. Yeah. Very scientific, really. I mean, yeah, really, really, really scientific. The great thing about the mask, and I've said this so many times, but people don't get it, is that during the summer of 2020, when they needed to swap out actors between Proud Boys and Racists and BLM Antifa and various dunker squads of the Third Region Legion of the Drag Queen Mafia, during the summer of 2020, when they needed to swap actors, the mask made it easier. It made it easier. It made it nearly impossible. You add in some makeup and some costumes, it made it nearly impossible to say that one particular person was both a Proud Boy and Antifa. But they did that. I knew they did that. I could see it. I knew the Seattle police were escorting Antifa BLM protests up and down 12th Avenue. During the summer of 2020, during that horrible pandemic, essentially cutting off traffic to a big portion of Seattle, to every major emergency room in Seattle. That never made any sense, but I saw it with my own eyes. I'll tell you, that happened, that was true. So, but you tell me what it means. You tell me what it means. If you have a good answer to that question, you tell me what it means. And again, we're talking about insomnia here. In 2022, when the Russians invaded the Ukraine, I told my listeners, if this lasts more than 90 days, you need to be suspect. You need to be very suspect that there's something else going on. It's going to be 3 years here pretty soon. You should be really suspect of what's going on there. You can read the articles about how the Russians are finally breaking through, blah, blah, blah. But if you ask me what's going on in the Ukraine right now and what's been going on with Israel and Gaza the last year, is a good sign that my 5-year estimate was about right, and Boblimpdoc is about over, and something probably is going to happen between now and when I said Boblimpdoc officially ends, which is March or April, whatever, 2025. I'm sticking to it. And I'll admit I was wrong, probably in May of 2025, May, June. I'll be starting my new job, working as a coder for, I don't know, some type of company that sells bras. I'll be using AI to enhance their data model. I'll be hooking up and using human growth hormone and probably eating more fresh vegetables in June of 2025 if I am wrong. But I don't think I am. I really, really don't. And that's one of the reasons why I piss people off. And it's probably one of the reasons why, based on all my testing, and I do that, I test my social presence, but based on all my testing, is probably one of the reasons why I'm deeply buried right now. And that's okay too. The fact that I'm up and even give a crap about that shit means that I am not mentally prepared. Because I am not special. I am like these characters at the diner, but then so are you. And so are a lot of people. We know something's wrong. We're trying to tell people to dig a little deeper, but that's not the message that they want right now. What they want people to do is to go to the salad bar, and they can fill up on whatever garbage they find, but they need to ignore everything around them. You're telling them maybe you should skip the salad and head in the direction of where those people are going that look like they're being fed. And they're saying, just go to the salad bar. I don't know how we could discover the reason why they're doing what they're doing. I have proposed a couple of theories. I have defined, to the best of my ability, best cases and worst cases. And so I'm done. There's no more work to be done there as far as I'm concerned. If you want to know why, the best case scenario is that it is human folly. And that, like Salamander Bob, who decided to create the first HOA 500 million years ago or 400 million years ago, like Salamander Bob, he didn't know what he was getting into. You know, yeah, it sucks to be in the ocean with a giant scorpion, but what if I tell you, Salamander Bob, that kind of like, I don't know, Robert Duvall in THX 1138, you crawl out of one hellhole to get to another. Or it's like, you know, I watched that Leah Remini series about Scientology, and at one point she's talking to an LA cop, and it just seems to me that people will escape one Scientology in order to reach a greater Scientology. So like THX 1138, yeah, Duvall gets out of the fucking underground city or whatever hellhole he was living in, but it's kind of a bleak ending. It's almost as if you escaped one dystopia to enter another, you know, congratulations. That's why the robots gave up. You know, their economic formulas designed by Paul Krugman said, turn back, that guy's not worth a printing press. Yeah. We're awake, but we're not woke. We can't sleep, but that doesn't mean we don't want to. We know something is up, but we might never know for sure what it is. That's where I'm at. I can dismiss things out of hand. Like if you say, Dan, are you afraid of global warming or climate change as described? As described by the media, as described by Republicans and Democrats and the woke people, do you believe that story about CO2? Not really. I think it's a deliberate kind of bullshit. If you ask me a different question, do you believe there are things happening in the environment fast enough that something is going on, A, and B, that it could be catastrophic? And the answer is maybe. And it probably has zero to do with what poor people have done. And I can't tell you what the powerful do with stupid power. I can point you to Freedom of Information Act stuff, and I can talk about how they've used tactical nukes to frack for natural gas in the past. And there's a long list. It's a long list. The list of stupid shit our own government has done with its power. It's a long fucking list. And it's not just that it's stupid shit, and it's not even funny. It's horrible shit. And it's a long list. And this is what we know. The list of what we don't know is probably longer, or at least as long, and probably worse. So I can tell you I don't believe the Al Gore, Greta Thunberg narrative. I think that's bullshit. But based on my own experiences in the Pacific Northwest, I can also tell you that something is going on. And it's not small. In terms of, you know, is it bigger than a bread basket or a bread box? Bread basket. Is it bigger than a bread box? You know, I am, again, it's almost 1 a.m., guys. If it's bigger than a bread box, right? Then okay, I think it's a lot bigger. And I don't think it's necessarily directly related to economics or politics, but in fact, it could explain a lot of things. But beyond that, I don't know. I mean, some people have been talking a lot about the pole shift, and that's fine. But as I said in a recent podcast, the poles don't shift without second and third order, you know, effects, without consequences. Yes, the pole shifting would be terrible, but you have to understand why. It's because of all the other things that are going to happen, to include environmental. For the last, I don't know, roughly 7,000 to 8,000 years, the human race has lived in more or less a pretty decent equilibrium. Have there been warming periods? Yeah. Have there been cooling periods? Sure. But for the most part, the last 7,000 to 8,000 years have been relatively tame compared to what led up to it and what could be coming. What led up to it was an ice age. And then the ice age failed, and that was its own series of catastrophes. So when you finally get to the first civilizations, you're talking about a world that is much more stable for human civilization than it was maybe in the previous several thousand years. Maybe. Again, it depends upon what you believe and what you're told, right? We have lived in that equilibrium and it could be over. That's another potential explanation for what's going on. It also explains the psyops because it would be a fuzzy event. A pole shift is a fuzzy event. It's not something where you say on this date a comet will hit. It's way more like a caldera volcano going off. It is very unpredictable. And by its nature, the best you could do is predict a window of probability, that in this period of time, this is going to happen. A pole shift is going to expose the Earth to greater solar radiation, maybe just for a while, potentially for a long while. That would also be catastrophic. And so you don't need the poor people driving cars to do things like this. Nature has done this, if you believe what you're told, forever. And if you're a Christian like me and you kind of reject a lot of cosmology for the most part and natural history for the most part because you just don't know for certain, but you do know you believe in God, then you also know from the Bible that there are periods of history where things get crazy And you know this is part of the story. And you also know from the Bible that there's prophecy throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, and there's a lot of unfulfilled prophecy in the Old and New Testament. You should know this as a Christian. Beyond that, I can't tell you anything. I can't. And I'm not even sure I'd want to. Like, I don't mind talking to you about the secular perspective of this, because I spent most of my life as an atheist, so it's a suit I can wear. I can talk to you about Sam, the salamander crawling out of the ocean, ha ha ha, guffaw. I can talk to you about that because I spent most of my life believing that bullshit. Just like I spent most of my life believing that, yeah, we probably landed on the moon. Why would they lie? You know? As skeptical, as critical, as, you know, quote-unquote intelligent as I thought I was, I spent a lot of time taking things for granted, common cliches and statements that were just not true, or at least I couldn't prove or disprove them. I have no functional way of proving or disproving whether or not humans landed on the moon between 1969 and 1972. I don't have a way of proving or whatever. I find it suspect that no human, I don't want to talk about probes because, again, a lot of this looks manufactured to me, aka, you know, Photoshop. I don't know why we haven't, anybody, no one has sent a human back there since 1972. It's weird. It doesn't mean they didn't go, but it's weird. And it's weird to hear people talk about going back to the moon like some new thing, like we hadn't done it before. We have to learn how to go through the Van Allen belts. Well, it seems like we did that a few times, so, you know, go get that Commodore 64 and turn it on again. But just because you would look at an event like that, and rightly so, whether it's 9/11 or landing on the moon, the COVID, or frankly, the financial disaster of 2008-2009, just because you look at an event like that and you look at it askew and you think something's weird, it doesn't mean you have the power to know or that you ever will know for sure why it happened or who decided to do it. The cage, in my opinion, is real. Even if you approach this from a purely secular standpoint and you see our current situation as the result of all those dumb decisions going back millions of years, even if you take that, you know, uber naturalist position, you still don't really know. You have a lot of hypothesizing and a lot of rules and things you've read in books, but you really don't know for certain. You know that other people have told you this is reality, but you don't really know for certain. I'm told by this website, Arts and Culture from Google, I'm told by this site from Google that Google is curating that Edward Hopper is a real person, that there's a painting called Nighthawks that he produced in 1942, and that it looks like this painting. But I have no earthly way of proving that this is true. It doesn't mean it's false, it's just that I can neither prove it nor falsify it. It is something that happened before I was born, and to take it seriously, I have to believe other people who, frankly, there aren't that many people left alive who were adults in 1942, by the way. You know, there might be little kids who are alive, and you might find a little kid still alive. They're not going to be a little kid any longer, right? Unless they're a vampire. You might find somebody who was a kid in 1942 and say, did Edward Hopper paint this painting? And oh, yeah, you know, I was there. But still, it's a secondhand source. And I don't have the time or the energy to investigate. If I had the resources to investigate anything right now, I know exactly where I would go because I feel as if I'm being gaslit about it. And to finish off my little conversation about Mother Nature and some wacky stuff going on, if you're a critical person or a thinker who considers themselves in the realm of the edgelords, you should know that the number one way the powers that be have wiped people out throughout history is with famine. You should know this. You should also know that the number one excuse throughout history for why a city is burning, and this was an excuse used long before Rome burned, long before Nero. But the number one excuse in that proverbial figurative sense for why your society, why your culture, why your city is burning is to blame the poor people, to blame people without power, to blame people who don't have the resources to do anything about it. That is the number one excuse. And if you look around America today, I don't care if it's J.D. Vance or Donald Trump or Kamala Harris or Harry Balls or any of those folks, they are basically out there for the most part blaming ordinary everyday people for our situation. I can promise you, if Rome burns again, it's for the same reason Nero set fire, or had people do it for him, obviously. Nero set fire. Nero set fire to Rome. But he blamed a lot of Christians, didn't he? He blamed the poors. So yeah, when you look at the global warming thing, you need to understand that part of the whole story is blaming poor people. It really is. When these rich people go around, you know, doing their thing on their ships and jet airplanes, they might theatrically eat a bug, but they're not really eating bugs. In fact, they're probably not even doing it theatrically. For the most part, they're telling you you're going to live a certain kind of way while they live high on the hog. That's not about the environment. That's not about nature. That's about power. That's about basically rubbing your face in it. And a lot of that happened in 2020, and a lot of people let it happen. They were okay with it. It wasn't just that they got their face rubbed in it. They let their kids' faces get rubbed in it too. And that's why you got the bitter clingers. The bitter clingers are not the freaks Obama talked about who drive around in pickup trucks. No, the bitter clingers are the people who are clinging on to the crooked narrative of 2020 in some form. Because if they admit that it was all basically theater, street theater, stagecraft, with some murders thrown in there just to scare people more, and also some redefining of things, like what is the flu? And what is a hospital-acquired infection? Because prior to 2020, hundreds of thousands of Americans died from horrible and preventable hospital-acquired infections. That's kids and adults. That's fungal, bacterial, viral, unknown. Nobody cared. If some hobo died at Harborview of a virus in the year 2018 or 2019, I can tell you what would be in the records because I saw the data. I worked there. It would be some diagnosis code for unknown virus, and they wouldn't have given a crap. And then all of a sudden in 2020, not only do they start giving a crap, but everything is the fucking COVID. Yeah. Three-card Monty. I have no idea if there's a salamander that crawled out of the sea hundreds of millions of years ago. I have no idea if the story of this interglacial period is a true story. I have never been to space. There could be a space. I don't know. If it's a frontier, it sucks. Since 1961, less than 700 unique people have been to this place called space, and a significant number of them are Masons, maybe almost all. Yeah, so I don't know what space is, but if it's a frontier, it really sucks. And we're constantly pumped with this idea that we're all going to be heading to space soon. But that's a story I've been seeing in the movie theaters since the 1970s, really. Actually, if you're older than me, you could say since the 1950s, but that would make you a vampire. You know, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You're not a vampire yet. You're just a boomer. You just drink the blood like Peter Thiel to stay young, to have fists of steel. Yeah. Nighthawks by Edward Hopper. I'd love to believe with certainty that this is a real thing I'm looking at, that it was produced by a real person, but I don't know. I do know that one of the behaviors that is hated today, and it is censored and hated, is to take something that's not in the salad bar. Like going back to the salad bar thing, you know? It's okay to go up to the salad bar. It's okay to have seconds and thirds. It's okay to even spit on the salad bar. It's okay to do a lot of stuff. You can even drop a Dookie or a Cleveland Steamer on the salad bar. But what you can't do is go over to the other place where the people are having steak. You can't do that. You can believe that the COVID was a virus manufactured in a lab. You can believe the COVID was a random virus that came from a wet market. You can believe all kinds of things about the COVID, but what you don't get to believe is that the whole thing was bullshit. You can believe the vaccine is killing people, and you can believe that's not true, but what you don't get to believe is that it could be both true and false, that a lot of people are getting placebos, and some people are getting poisoned. Don't you dare say that. You can choose a side in the Ukraine war. You can be supportive of Russia, or supportive of Ukraine, or you can take the really lit position and just want peace. But what you can't say is that maybe there's something else going on, that the war itself might be manufactured bullshit. You can be really upset with Israel and call them war criminals and accuse them of genocide. You can do that. Or you can be really supportive of the state of Israel and say, drop more tonnage on Gaza. But what you don't really get to do is ask the simple question, who the fuck drops 10,000 tons of conventional weapons per square mile in less than a year on 141 square miles? Who does that? I mean, okay, Bomber Harris, you know, the mad bomber of the European theater, definitely a lost twin brother to General LeMay. Bomber Harris fried Dresden. Fried Dresden with, you know, 4,000 tons of TNT, and basically dropped that on a space roughly the same footprint as Gaza. That was 4,000 tons of conventional TNT. Who the fuck drops 10,000 tons per square mile to add up to a total of, what, 141,000 at this point, probably? We may not be there yet, Dan. They're only at 7 or 8,000 tons per square mile. The fact that you say that, or that you can think that and think it's normal, that's weird. You don't get to say that. You don't get to say that. You can call it a war crime. You don't get to question whether or not it's too absurd to be true. And again, if you ask me, why would they do all these things? It's like, well, Dan, clearly the Ukraine war is about money laundering. That is also a preferred narrative, brothers and sisters. You can talk about Ukraine being about money laundering all day long, every day of the week. Just like you can get all your friends who go to Cabela's to get all riled up and put up posters to head to Washington, D.C. and hang out at the House of Representatives. You can go ahead and do that. And yeah, there will be consequences probably. Guess what? Theater needs that. But what you don't do is go to the Eccles building. You don't do that. There's a bunch of other buildings you can go to, but you don't go to Langley, you don't go to the Eccles building, and you probably don't even go to the Pentagon. The Pentagon, you know, the Pentagon. That's a better name for it, the Pentagon. Yeah. The pentagram. Epstein is, you know what? Epstein killed himself, as Epstein committed suicide. But what you don't get to say is, you know, what if he's not dead? And what's even more interesting, what if he was never a person per se in the first place? You know, I look at a lot of these politicians and all I can tell you is that they are good at their jobs. But that doesn't mean they're good leaders. That just means they're good at scaring people and getting people riled up and confused. They're really good at that. If you ask me, are they going to solve any problems? The answer is no. But if you ask me, do they serve a purpose? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, how can I phrase this? There are preachers, quote unquote, ministers, quote unquote, who go into a tent someplace in the Midwest, and they have a couple plants. You know, I don't mean corn stockings or whatever, corn. I mean plants, like people they put into the audience, into the congregation. And these are people who will be miraculously cured. The person in the audience who gets miraculously cured, like the person standing in line at the restaurant, like the people pretending to be BLM Antifa in 2020, they're fake as fuck. Just like Donald Trump, just like, you know, Kamala Kamala. And in some cases, especially in cases of people in power, they may not even realize it completely, or they may be so deluded that they pretend it's normal. I think there's a lot of folks, especially on YouTube, who have really lit edgelord channel. I'm permanently banned from there, so that tells you how I feel about that. I think there are a lot of folks on YouTube who complain, oh, I have a million followers, but I could have 10 million. A lot of folks on there who are basically fake, but don't know it. They're 100% controlled. They are useful idiots. In fact, you will find most of your useful idiots in those edgelord lit podcasts. I'll just say it straight up. Doesn't mean all of them are like that. A lot of folks on YouTube teach you how to cook a pie. And guess what? They don't care. That is not an issue that causes them heartache. If you spend all day cooking pies and talking about them on YouTube, the folks who are in charge, quote unquote, would love it. They'd love it. They totally, totally love it. They'd love you for doing it. I've been rambling for about an hour, and I should stop. Or at least maybe it's not an hour yet, but it seems like it. And I should stop where I was supposed to start and just reiterate that I can't sleep and I'm staring at this picture by Edward Hopper and wondering to myself, is it real? And it's not because I've given up on God or given up on people. It's because I've given up on simply taking things for granted. And if that means looking at a painting that everybody knows is real and asking the question, could there be another story here? Well, then I'll do it. And I'll even look at the building across the way in the painting and see those windows and ask myself, what's going on there? I'll be like Jimmy Stewart with a broken leg. Grace, you know, Princess what? Grace Kelly gonna show up and give me something nice from 21. But I'll have my super special camera that I use to photograph cool shit in Tibet. And I'll find out what's going on in the building across from the diner in Edward Hopper's Nighthawks. I'll find out if they're up to no good.